We continue this morning the sermon entitled, What is True Love? We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, talking about love and what true love actually is. We've talked for the past several weeks on this subject. Been studying the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Talked about the importance of love, the fact that it matters not what we have or what we do if we don't have love. It's all meaningless. We can say the sweetest things to somebody, but if we don't have love, it's just a bunch of meaningless noise, a bunch of racket. We would say. So, we discovered that love is important, very important. We've seen some of the things that love is not. It's not envious. It don't envy others. It does not always have to be first. You know, some people we see always got to be the first in line, first for whatever. That's not love. Love don't always have to be first. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. It don't think evil of everybody automatically. Don't keep a record of wrongs of others. And it's not irritable nor resentful. We've also seen some of the things that love is. Love is long-suffering. It suffers long. It's patient. It's kind. It bears all things. It endures. It holds out in spite of everything. It outlives sorrow, disappointment, cruelty, distortion of truth, and indifference. It's not a quitter. Love believes. It has a trustful attitude toward others. Gives them the benefit of the doubt. Always eager to believe the best in others. Too many times we have a negative thought process and we automatically think evil of people when we don't even know them yet. That's not love. Love is always eager to believe the best in others. It prefers to be over generous rather than over suspicious. Love hopes all things. It's hopeful because it's grounded in God through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Love don't just dream of a future. It knows where its future is. And therefore, even when evil comes, it can wait patiently. It endures all things no matter what comes. Love continues to remain steadfast. It endures the blackness of the night, confident that the sun will shine in the morning. This morning we pick up in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And Lord willing, we'll complete this sermon today. Lord willing. Okay. In verse 8, we find that love never ends. Verse 8 says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So, love never ends. Love is eternal. It will never come to an end because it's grounded in God. God is love. That's the Bible tells us that. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, the Bible tells us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested or made known the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atonement, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Love. Love never ends. Since God is love, God will last as long as, love will last as long as God lasts. And He'll never cease to exist. Neither will love cease to exist. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Psalm 103, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. So love will never end, because God will never end, and God is love. He's the beginning, and He's the end that never ends, because He is eternal. And we will all live eternally. We will either spend eternity with Jesus in heaven or the rest of our eternity, or we will spend it separated from God in a place called hell, again for eternity. It's never going to end. It's going to go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And so, just a little reminder of the importance of trusting Jesus to be our Savior and allowing Him to become Lord of our life, because we are all going to spend eternity in one of two places. Either we're going to spend it in heaven with God, with love, or we're going to spend it in hell where there is no love, because God's not there and God's love. And there will be eternal torment and pain and torture, and people will be crying for relief, and there will be none for eternity. What a terrible, terrible thing to even think about. But so many people are making plans to spend their eternity in that place of torment. That's not love. God loves us. And He's given His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt so that we didn't have to even think about spending eternity separated from Him in that place called hell. So love never ends. It will never end. Love will always be forever because God is love. But He says these other things, prophecies and tongues and knowledge, are going to come to an end. Those things will no longer be necessary when this life on earth ends. For the Christians, we'll be in the very presence of God forever and eternity. So we'll no longer have need of these things, of prophecies and tongues and knowledge and being taught those things. We will be with Jesus Christ Himself, and with all those who have genuinely trusted Jesus as their Savior, to commune with them for eternity. So we won't need anybody prophesying about what's going to happen in the future. We won't need anybody sharing with us about, you know, what Jesus has done for us, and we can, you know, how we can be saved, because we're going to be in the very presence, in His presence. And so those things will no longer be necessary. But love continues. Love never ends. And so we see there that these things that we experience now, a lot of them will be done away. Most of them will be done away, because there will be no more need for them throughout eternity. these will give way to a more mature understanding of the meaning of life with God. Because those of us who are prepared, those who have trusted Jesus as Savior, will be in the very presence of God. And so we will be learning more and more. And a little further in this, we'll see more about where Paul talks about that and how things change then. And so these, although they're necessary now in this world we live in, will not be needed in the future, in the world to come, in heaven. Verse 10 tells us, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the perfect comes, when we're in the very presence of God, unhindered by the things of this world, the imperfect of prophecies, tongues, and knowledge will no longer be necessary. So they'll pass away. We won't need them because we're going to be in the very presence of God Himself. So we will be right there with Him. Life on this earth and life in heaven are like childhood compared to adulthood. There Paul tells us in verse number 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, there's a comparison there of this life on earth compared to life in heaven. When we're children, we don't understand a lot of things. When we grow up, some of us do. Some of us, you know, I tell folks I'm still working on growing up. But, you know, when we mature, we begin to understand things more. And we realize more some of the things we need to do, some of the things that are necessary in life and those things. And so here Paul makes a comparison of what things are like here and how they're compared to life in heaven. When we get to heaven, we will experience vast treasures of the knowledge of God. So that we may describe life now as the life of children compared to life then as the life of mature adults. There'll be no more need for candles to light our way. You know, in this life, we can compare the teachings of that our parents have tried to teach us along the way as candles, you know, to try to light our way. You know, we are to be lights, to light the way of other Christians. Our Vacation Bible School theme this year, talking about illuminating, let your light so shine before your fellow man, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we're kind of like candles going through light, and we're trying to help light the way and lead others. We won't need that when we get to heaven because we'll be in the presence of the light Himself. Because God is light. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And so we'll be in His very presence. And so there'll be no more need for those candle-like things that we experience here in this world. He says in verse 12, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now we see through a glass darkly. The reference is like looking in a mirror. You know, we can't get a full view of life from this side. But there are a lot of things that we just can't understand. Although we walk by faith, not by sight. But there are a lot of things that are just not made completely clear to us. You know, there are a lot of discussions that go on, a lot of, I could say arguments that go on among the Christian community a lot of times, arguing about, you know, different aspects of the Bible. You know, we have the premillennialists, the postmillennialists, and those things that people will spend hours arguing about, but nobody really knows because it's not clearly indicated in the Scripture. We have our different opinions, so we can't really see clearly all that the Bible teaches us. There are a lot of things there that are not completely made clear, you know. And as I have explained to a lot of people a lot of times over the years when they're struggling with those things, and I say, well, you know what, if it was really important for us to understand that really clearly here and now, guess what? God would have spelled it out right here in the Bible. He just said, okay, I know y'all going to struggle with this, so let me explain it to you. Let me dumb it down so you can understand it. But he didn't do that. And so if it's not, you know, those things that are not necessary for us to completely understand why we can still be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, we don't understand them clearly. There are a lot of things that we just can't get our mind wrapped around. But he says, then, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to understand it, you know. People say, well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him about this, or I'm going to ask him about that, you know. Well, probably that's not going to be a priority when you get to heaven, you know. A lot of those questions that we have in our minds here and now, because as Paul says, we're seeing through a glass darkly. We're not able to see the whole picture. We're not able to see it clearly. You know, it's like sometimes my eyes get blurry and I can't, you know, see, focus on even on the Scripture. Life is that way. A lot of times we can't see clearly. We can't focus on exactly what's going on. We can't understand a lot of things that are going on. Paul said, right now, we're not in clear focus. We're seeing through a glass darkly. We're looking in that mirror and we can't really get the whole picture. But one day, we're going to be face to face. He said, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. So when you are confronted with those situations that you just can't really understand completely, don't worry about that. When we get to the other side, we'll be able to see clearly everything that we need to see. We will understand the things that we need to understand. You know, there are a lot of things we don't understand in this life. Well, I don't understand why God did this. I don't understand why God did that. Well, you ain't God. And I ain't God, you know. I don't understand a lot of things some of you do. You don't understand a lot of things I do, you know. You ain't me and I ain't you, you know. But most importantly, God is so far above. As a matter of fact, the Bible says His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And His ways beyond our imagination. We're not going to understand all of it here in the flesh. But one day, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if we've trusted Him to be Savior and allowed Him to become Lord of our lives, one day we're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him in heaven and we'll be able to see those things clearly. No longer will it be foggy. No longer will it be unclear. No longer will we just be seeing a little bits and pieces. We'll be able to see clearly, face to face, with Jesus Christ. And so, when we see Him face to face, when we're in the very presence of God Himself, Our vision will become very clear. We won't need glasses anymore. We will no longer be looking at a reflection, but then we will have a direct line of sight, clear view. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be with him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Do you hear what he said? He said, there are a lot of things that we don't understand. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. And so, don't fret. You know, don't get upset. Don't worry about things that you can't understand about God. One day, if you put your trust and your faith in him, trust Jesus to be your Savior and let him become Lord of your life, one day you'll be able to see clear. You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see him face to face in his very presence. It's hard for me to imagine looking at him face to face. I can imagine falling before him on my face and worshiping him and thanking him for what he's done for me. But to stand face to face is hard for me to imagine doing. To stand face to face, the man that hung on that cross and suffered for me, demonstrating God's love for me, as unfit and unworthy as I am. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We will see him one day. As a matter of fact, everyone, whether saved or lost, will see him one day. Because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so whether or not you confess him in this life and trust him, accepting him as your Savior and allowing him to forgive you of your sins and come live in your heart so that you begin to live for him and do those things that are honorable in his sight, so that when this life ends, you will have the promise to be with him in glory. Or whether you deny him in this life, you're still going to bow before him one day. And you're going to confess Jesus is Lord. But for many, it's going to be too late. It'll be too late because their decision has been made. Their choice has been made. They have chosen to do it their own way. They've allowed Satan to distract them and discourage them and mislead them. They believe the lies of Satan. And so they will be eternally separated from God. But they will have the opportunity to face him one time. They'll bow before him and they'll confess him as their Savior. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those who have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord will not just bow before Jesus confessing him as Lord. We will spend eternity with him. In Romans chapter 22 and Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." And then the final verse number 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. Here, the time will come when all the gifts of God to the church will have fulfilled God's purpose here on this earth. And the faithful will go to be with Him in heaven. Faith abides because it is trust in God's saving grace. It's because of our faith that we have the promise that we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. It's because of our faith that we know that God wants to bless us here and now. And it's because of our faith in Him and our trust in Him and allowing Him to become our Savior and allowing Him to become Lord of our lives that we begin to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of God. I remind you of what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, "The thief cometh not but for steal and to kill and destroy." That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to destroy your witness. He can't take your salvation if you're a believer. He can't take your salvation. But if he can discourage you, you'll destroy your witness, your testimony. And you'll not be an effective witness to reach somebody else for Jesus Christ. You see, if we're not living faithfully for Jesus Christ, then we're not going to be an effective witness to somebody else. You know? If you have we don't have them anymore, but used to, we had vacuum cleaner sales people come by. You know, back in the day. They'd come by and they'd demonstrate their vacuum cleaner. You know, I mean, they'd dump a can of dirt in your floor, on your carpet. And then they'd start vacuuming, you know, and they'd show how powerful their vacuum cleaner was. And I'd suck all that dirt back up out of the floor. You know. And their whatever brand vacuum cleaner they were using, you know, that's what they're trying to sell. You ask them, "What kind of vacuum cleaner you got at home?" "Oh, well, I don't have this kind. It's a little bit more expensive, but I got some other kind." That's not a real good sales representative, is it? That don't really make you want to buy the vacuum cleaner that he just dumped dirt in your floor and sucked back up. If he don't believe enough in that vacuum cleaner to own one himself, and he's got another kind, what does that tell you? That may not be the best vacuum cleaner to buy. Well, that's kind of the way it is for a lot of people who are professing to be Christians. You know, they talk the talk in the church, but when they get out in society, then you can't tell them from the world, you know. They go to the same places, they talk the same talk, use the same filthy language, you know, have the same bad habits that the world has, and they're trying to tell you about this Jesus that loves them so much. That's what the devil wants you to do, is live like the world and just keep all those bad habits and bad language and all that other stuff, because you're going to be ineffective in leading somebody else to faith in Christ. Okay? So, it's that faith that we have. We need to demonstrate that faith that we have, because faith is going to last. He said, "And now abideth faith, You know, faith in Jesus Christ. It still abides. It's that faith that's going to get us to heaven. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know? Oh, none of us was there when Jesus hung on the cross. None of us saw Him hanging on the cross. None of us saw Him when He was beaten, when He was falsely accused, when He was abused, ridiculed, and put on that cross when they pierced His side and put the crown of thorns on His head. None of us saw that in person. We believe it by faith. It's by faith. And we walk by faith. Every day, we live our life by faith. We do the things that God has called us to do, and we do that by faith, believing that He will, in fact, protect us while we're doing what He's called us to do. And so it's a faith walk, and it's that faith that gets us a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so faith will continue. It's not done away with. Now, once we're in heaven, we're not walking by faith anymore, because we have come to the place of realizing the exact truth. Another thing that abides is hope. Hope abides because of our faith being in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But now we have that hope, that assurance, that when this life is over, whether I ever step out from behind this pulpit alive or not, I know and I have the hope, the assured hope, that when this life is over, I will wake up in the very presence of the one that hung on that cross, Jesus Christ. I have that hope, that assurance. And that assurance will be completed, revealed, when in fact this life is over and I step in the very presence of God. But the most important thing, he said, you know, faith abides, hope abides, but the most important of these three is love, charity. The greatest of these is love. Love abides because that's God's nature, because God is love. And we certainly will experience that love for eternity when we are in heaven with Him, if, in fact, we have trusted Him to be our Savior and Lord. Now, not all of us are going to heaven. I would certainly pray that all of us are going to heaven, but not every individual is going to heaven. How many times have I heard the statement made when somebody passes away, and it's almost automatic for a person to say, well, you know, at least he's not suffering anymore. He might have lived like the devil himself. But people say, well, at least he's not suffering anymore. Well, I want to tell you something. For the non-believer, he ain't never suffered before like he's suffering when he dies without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate suffering, you know. But for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our suffering's over. We'll never feel another pain. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that there will be no more suffering and pain. And Revelation it tells me that all those things are past and we'll not experience them anymore. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning verse number 3, John the Revelator writing, he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow or crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's for the believer. That's for the one who's put his faith in Jesus Christ. For the non-believer, the suffering is just about to begin. And so, what is true love? True love could be defined in one word or in two words. G-O-D, God, or in Jesus Christ, His Son. That's true love. God has demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? That's true love. And because He loved us, He says we need to love one another. Okay? We need to learn about what love is and what love is not. And I think probably most of us, I'll assure you that I, for one, have plenty of room for improvement in some of those areas. Learning what love is. Love is kind, it's compassionate, it's patient. It don't think evil of everyone. You know, it endures to the end. And love will save your soul if you'll trust love, that's God, to forgive you. It'll allow Him to come live in your heart. He'll save you. And He will begin to direct your path so that when this life ends, you can spend eternity with Him in heaven and be absent from all the pain and suffering and difficulties that we experience in this life. If you've never done that, I can't beg and plead with you enough asking you to do that. Because I want to see every one of you in heaven one day. I don't want any of you to miss that. Because I don't want to see any of you tortured for eternity in a place called hell. Father, I love you and thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being love. Thank you for loving us. Thank you especially for loving me, Lord, enough that you were willing to give your only begotten Son. And He was willing to give His life after being tortured, tormented, hanged on a cross. He gave His life. He gave His life to pay my sin debt, to pay for all the wrongs that I've done. And I thank you for that. God, I can never, ever thank you enough, and I can never, ever do enough to really, genuinely show how thankful I am for you. Help me, Lord, every day be reminded that my life, the way I act, the way I talk, the way everything I do speaks volumes about my faith in you and my love for you. Help me to love others unconditionally and lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here that's never trusted you to be Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation. If there's one who needs to rededicate their life, whatever the need, I know that you're here. You're here to meet needs. So Lord, speak to hearts. And I pray that people will not quench the Spirit, that they'll not hold back, but that they will do exactly what the Holy Spirit leads them to do today. We love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, I gotta get my life straightened out. then I'm going to come trust Jesus. But you can't do that. You can't straighten your life out. You can surrender to Jesus Christ and let Him straighten it out. You come just like you are, and that's what the song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. If you've never trusted Him, be Savior. Would you do that today? Just slip out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me, but confess it to God. I'll pray with you. I'll share Scripture with you. Whatever I can do to encourage and help you. Maybe you have accepted Christ and Satan has distracted you and you're not living the life that you ought to be living. You need to rededicate your life, recommit your life, get back on that right path.